Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
a powerful snowstorm bears down on the Northeast.
California stockpiles body bags as the pandemic continues to surge.
Stimulus talks make progress as lawmakers inch toward an agreement.
And the Fed makes its final policy decision of the year.
Mayor de Blasio promises the snow won't disrupt vaccine distribution. I'm John Tucker. The story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, the latest on when baseball will begin and the NBA's MVP is staying put.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of today's Fed decision. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 89. NASDAQ futures up 41. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. FTSE 100 up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.25%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 0.92%, and the yield on the two-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%, up 14 cents at $47.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6%, or $11.20 at $18.66.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2193 against the dollar, the yen 103.38. Nathan.
Karen, a powerful storm is taking aim at the Northeast today. States from Maryland to Massachusetts are preparing for up to a foot of snow. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn is tracking the path of the storm now from D.C. to New England and joins us now.
Nathan, the storm system that's coming out of the south central United States will bring some rain and snow to the district this morning. Snow arrives in the New York City area this afternoon. It arrives in Boston later this evening. It's going to be a warm storm for the district in Baltimore, so accumulations are on the light side there, just a coating to 2 inches in the district. Looks like Baltimore picks up 2 to 4. New York and Boston are a completely different story. They'll pick up between 6 and 12 inches of snow. The heaviest snowfall in New York and Boston occurs tonight, and it looks like intensity should drop off by sunrise tomorrow morning.
Okay, Rob, so when are we expecting this to end?
Nathan, the mixed precipitation in D.C. and Baltimore ends before sunrise tomorrow morning. In the New York City area, snow will end tomorrow morning, and in Boston, the snow will taper off and end tomorrow afternoon. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Rob, thank you, and we'll keep checking in with you for the latest on the storm throughout the day. Meantime, coronavirus cases continue to climb across the country. Yesterday saw another 3,000 Americans die from the virus. It's so bad in California that the state is starting to stockpile body bags. Here's Governor Gavin Newsom.
The positivity rate in the state of California is now up past 10% to 10.7%. We haven't seen positivity rate that high since the very first few weeks of this pandemic.
Daily cases are holding above 200,000 a day. Experts warn the Christmas holiday could bring another surge.
At the same time, there's more positive news on the vaccine front. U.S. regulators say Moderna's shot is safe and effective for preventing COVID-19 in people 18 and older. We get more from Bloomberg healthcare reporter Riley Griffin.
FDA staff released documents confirming that they see the vaccine as safe and effective, which will pave the way forward to what we call an advisory committee hearing that is taking place this coming Thursday.
And if all goes well at that hearing, Moderna's vaccine could gain emergency authorization as soon as Friday.
When it comes to economic relief from the pandemic, there may be some movement in stimulus talks. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's been in talks with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and that they seem to be getting somewhere. The negotiators have been trying to finalize coronavirus aid to attach to a package of spending bills before Friday's deadline. No word on whether they've overcome the greatest sticking points, including aid for state and local governments and a COVID-19-related liability shield for businesses. McConnell has suggested leaving those for the next round of talks after President-elect Joe Biden takes office. In Washington, I'm Amy Moore. Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. State aid has been a sticking point in stimulus talks, but new analysis from Bloomberg News shows the need may not be that dramatic. Despite the pandemic, California is poised to pocket a windfall of $26 billion this year. Tax revenues coming in at a clip no one expected, thanks in part to the booming stock market. New York and Connecticut have similar stories, which could undercut the push for more federal aid.
As lawmakers debate pandemic relief, Fed officials debate policy. The central bank wraps up its final meeting of the year today with a decision announced at 2 p.m. Here with more is Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee.
It may be a case of no news is some news. 10-year yields have bumped up against the 1% level since dropping on the pandemic, leading investors to question what it will take to break through. Does a Fed intent on holding down rates change its QE mix and buy more at the longer end? Or does a failure to break through 1% mean they don't have to? 77% of economists we surveyed say the latter. Instead, the forecast is they'll tie low rates to levels of unemployment and prices, signaling low rates for longer without changing policy. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Ahead of that decision, we get a reading on retail. Economists say retail sales for November probably retreated as the pandemic intensified. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Retail sales have been on the rise since May. Bloomberg Economics says faltering auto sales and lower fuel prices will probably slam the brakes on today's data. Restaurants, too, are suffering as health orders place strict limits, even shutdowns, on indoor dining and bar hopping. Online sales, meantime, are offsetting the drop in traffic at shops, stores, and malls. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, two of the best-known names in the cannabis business are combining. Canadian-based Aphria is paying a 23% premium for Tilray. The new company will have an equity value of about $3.8 billion and will trade under Tilray's ticker on the NASDAQ.
History's been made in the equity market. A Vanguard Group equity fund's become the first of its kind to eclipse $1 trillion in assets. The Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, which was created in 1992, includes both a mutual fund and an exchange-traded fund. Data show it eclipsed $1 trillion as of November 30th. S&P futures are higher right now by 12 points. Dow futures up 86, and NASDAQ futures a gain of 41 points. 10-year Treasury yield now 0.91%. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. John Tucker's here to help us get ready for that snow and give us more of a read on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, the big winter storm expected to make a mess out of travel in the city later today. But Mayor de Blasio says the COVID-19 vaccine will continue to be shipped.
Vaccine deliveries will continue as scheduled. There is absolute commitment from emergency management, health department, all the hospitals, the delivery companies. Everyone will keep those deliveries happening.
The city's school system will let parents and students know by tonight if in-person learning will happen or not. But if you can't go in person, every student will be expected to log on and participate in remote learning tomorrow. New York has reported 128 new virus-related deaths and nearly 6,000 hospitalizations statewide. That has Governor Cuomo warning we're on an unsustainable trajectory. The MTA is considering a budget that delays drastic service cuts and layoffs. The largest mass transit provider in the U.S. is set to vote today on a budget. It includes receiving $4 billion of federal funds. The problem is Congress has yet to approve it. President-elect Joe Biden campaigned on behalf of two Democratic Senate candidates in Georgia yesterday.
We can get so much done, so much that can make the lives of people of Georgia and the whole country so much better. And we need senators who are willing to do it, for God's sake.
On January 5th, Georgia will settle its two Senate races from the November 3rd election, both of which went into runoffs. It will determine control of the Senate. At an event later today in Wilmington, Delaware, President-elect Biden scheduled to introduce former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg as his nominee for Transportation Secretary. That story from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
A one-time rival in the presidential race, Buttigieg is being assigned a key role in fulfilling a Biden campaign pledge to, quote, build back better. In a statement announcing the pick, Biden described Buttigieg as a patriot and a problem solver. Jobs, infrastructure, equity, and climate all come together at the Department of Transportation, said the president-elect, adding, I trust Mayor Pete to lead this work with focus, decency, and bold vision. Buttigieg would become the first openly gay cabinet secretary. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And sources tell Bloomberg Mr. Biden has also tapped Jennifer Granholm to lead the Department of Energy. And the sources say Gina McCarthy, Barack Obama's former EPA chief, has been tapped to run a special White House office on climate change. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John.
Nathan, the new NBA season starts next week. The NHL expected to start next month. What about baseball? Yankee manager Aaron Boone said yesterday he's planning on starting spring training as usual, mid-February, gearing up for 162 games, but an MLB owner told USA Today there is zero chance of those things happening, that they don't want to play ball until all the players have gotten the vaccine. As for free agency, not much has happened yet. DJ LeMahieu remains unsigned. Reportedly, he and the Yankees are $25 million apart. But Boone says GM Brian Cashman trying to get a deal done.
I think it's no secret that he is, probably our number one priority to bring back this winter. And I know Cash is, working on that. And hopefully at the end of all this, DJ's a Yankee for a long time.
We called LeMahieu the AL's MVP over the last two seasons. He just hit .364 to win the batting title. When Giannis Antetokounmpo was a rookie in Milwaukee, he averaged only 7 points a game. He's still only 26 years old. He's now the two-time NBA MVP, and the Greek freak has elected to remain with the Bucks rather than become an unrestricted free agent next summer. Supermax deal, 5 years, $228 million. The Giants on Sunday hope to upset Cleveland and have Washington lose to Seattle. That would get Big Blue back atop the NFC East. Washington optimistic quarterback Alex Smith will be able to play Sunday despite an injured calf. The NFL says there will be no mandatory playoff bubbles. Teams can have players stay together in a hotel if they choose to. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We're looking at futures climb this Wednesday morning. S&P futures up 12 points. Dow futures ahead by 92. NASDAQ futures a gain of 39 points. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield at 0.92%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. Add some thrill to your wish list during the Season of Audi sales event at your Tri-State Audi dealer.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks rallying with confidence among investors, building on the back of stronger German factory data, the vaccine rollout, and the prospects for more U.S. stimulus. S&P futures, they're higher. The dollar's weakening as investors wait for details from the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 93. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.91%. Yield on the two-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 7 cents at $47.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $13.80 at $18.69.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.2196 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3507. And the yen, 103.33. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, a powerful storm taking aim to the northeast today. States from Maryland to Massachusetts preparing for up to a foot of snow. Yesterday saw another 3,000 Americans die from the coronavirus. It's so bad in California, the state's starting to stockpile body bags. China today charged 10 Hong Kong activists with illegal border crossing. And at sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo has signed the largest contract in NBA history. He's staying with the Bucks for another 5 years for more than $250 million. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get an update now on where we stand with the coronavirus pandemic as the first vaccines continue to roll out and a second inoculation could be cleared as soon as this week. For more, we're joined once again by Andy Pekosch, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. health. Good morning, Professor. We just heard from John Tucker in the news that it's getting so bad in California, they're beginning to stockpile body bags. Where do you see the surge trending at this point? It seems like it's getting better in some places and perhaps worse in others.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was clear when you looked at the post-Thanksgiving numbers that almost uniformly across the country, we saw these surges about a week later in total cases. About a week after that, we saw increases in hospitalization and deaths. You're going to see some up and down, but we have to look at those kind of events as really the big drivers of increases in cases. And I say that because we are coming up to the holiday season. You know, we have Hanukkah right now. We have Christmas coming up soon. These are the holidays that similar types of surges in cases and hospitalizations are going to happen if we don't put in more public health interventions and more caution. And the vaccine isn't going to help us this month because of the limited rollout that we have right now. So we have to continue to rely on our public health interventions to make a dent in some of these cases, case numbers.
And on top of the surge in cases, we're seeing this major winter storm heading right toward New York City just at the outset of the rollout of the Pfizer vaccine in New York. Could that hamper the inoculation effort?
Yeah, you know, we have to realize that there will be bumps along the way of this rollout, whether they are shipping problems because of the weather, whether it be small-scale production problems that cause a little variation in terms of the number of doses that are being distributed. We are going to see those kind of problems come up. Hopefully, they won't be very major ones, and most of the vaccine distribution mechanism in place right now understands that there will be problems and has prepared for those. So we absolutely will be seeing some of those problems, but good preparation, good logistics is going to help deal with them as they come up and hopefully turn them into just small speed bumps as opposed to large roadblocks.
Now, let's certainly hope that continues to be the case. And at the same time, we've gotten that very encouraging news from the FDA yesterday about the Moderna vaccine ahead of the advisory panel meeting on that tomorrow. 94% effectiveness. That's the headline number that got so many people's attention when Moderna reported it initially. What more stands out to you from the data that came out from the FDA yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I know that I can speak for many of my colleagues when I said that these numbers that are coming through were beyond our wildest expectations for this vaccine. We knew that this vaccine platform, this mRNA platform, was very well suited to inducing the type of immune response that we need to protect against COVID-19 disease. But it really has performed outstandingly well, beyond expectations. So everything looked good. I think what we really have to understand is, you know, two things. One is it seems to be a bit more what we call reactogenic. So your arm will hurt a little bit. You may have a little bit of a fever afterwards. It's probably a little bit more of some of these mild adverse effects than the flu vaccine. But all of that is within acceptable region numbers, and none of them are that serious. And I think the second thing that one has to realize is we know this vaccine protects against disease. We don't know how it protects from transmission. So even when you get vaccinated, don't be surprised if you still have to wear your masks and maintain some social distancing until we get the additional data on how well a vaccine can stop transmission.
We have less than a minute left here, Professor. Do we have any sense from some of the other vaccines that are in development and going through late stage trials that they could perhaps prevent the spread of this pandemic?
Yeah, not yet. The trials were really designed on the most important thing that we want to do initially in this rollout, and that's prevent the severe disease that leads to hospitalizations and to the and to deaths. So all the studies have really been focused on what we call powering, getting enough people into the studies to make sure that they can see that effect. Now, the follow-up studies will really measure these other secondary effects that might make this an even better vaccine than we see so far.
Thank you, as always, Professor. Great getting your insights ahead of the likely emergency use authorization for the Moderna vaccine by the end of this week. Andy Pekosh is Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now up almost 13 points. Dow futures up 97. NASDAQ futures up 35 points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A powerful snowstorm is on track to slam parts of the Northeast with over a foot of snow in some areas. We'll have more on that in a moment. But first, let's get to the latest on stimulus talks. GOP leaders says there's progress on a pandemic relief bill as they try to finalize a package before Friday. Bloomberg's Anna Edgerton has more from Washington.
What we're looking for is any signal from Democrats that they're willing to go ahead with a measure that doesn't include extra funds for state and local governments. That has been the proposal from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, that they kind of leave controversial things to the side. And with a bipartisan group of senators kind of endorsing that strategy, we're going to be looking for Democratic leaders to go ahead with that.
And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he will prevent a holiday recess until lawmakers agree on a stimulus deal.
Well, meantime, coronavirus cases continue to climb across the country. Yesterday saw another 3,000 Americans die from the virus. It's so bad in California, that state's starting to stockpile body bags. Here's Governor Gavin Newsom.
We're seeing substantial increase in community spread. We're seeing significant increases in total number of positive cases. And more importantly, perhaps, the positivity rate.
Daily cases across the U.S. are holding above 200,000 a day. Experts warn the Christmas holiday could bring another surge.
We're closer to getting a second coronavirus vaccine. U.S. regulators say Moderna's shot is safe and effective for preventing COVID-19 in people 18 and older. FDA advisors vote tomorrow whether to recommend emergency use authorization for the vaccine.
And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of today's Fed decision. The central bank wraps up its final meeting of the year with a policy decision due at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says there are compelling reasons for Fed officials to stand ready to do more. While we might not see action today, the odds are tilting toward the central bank stepping up bond buying to support Main Street and Wall Street. The issue, how best to do it. The Fed's benchmark interest rate has been near zero since the pandemic struck. It could be a tightrope act in a financial circus. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures are up about 12 points this morning. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.91%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $47.63 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover above and beyond could be very tough to drive in the next few hours, John Tucker.
Yeah, Nathan, here it comes. Up to a foot of snow will begin to fall in New York this afternoon. And Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carroll is tracking the storm this morning. Good morning, Rob.
John, the major winter storm that's developing in the central United States is going to be tracking towards the tri-state area. It passes south of the New York City area tomorrow morning. It's going to result in some rather heavy snowfall across the region. About a 6 to 12-inch accumulation is likely. We may see a little bit of sleet mix in over Long Island and over the city overnight as some warm air tries to come in aloft, but this is primarily going to be a snowstorm for the area. The good news is the storm is rather progressive, so we should see improvement as early as tomorrow afternoon. It should become partly sunny, but again, 6 to 12 inches is likely. I'm Rob Carolin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin, thanks. Now, for New York City school kids, forget about a snow day. Mayor de Blasio said yesterday, if school doors are closed, then it's remote learning.
We're going to let people know by tomorrow evening if in-person learning will happen or not. But if you can't go in person, every student will be expected to log on and participate in remote learning on Thursday.
De Blasio also says no matter how messy the roads get, shipments of the coronavirus vaccine will not be slowed. Because of rising virus cases, the mayor also warned New Yorkers can expect a shutdown of all but essential businesses soon after Christmas. A planned 40% cut to subway and bus service in the city could be on hold. The story from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The MTA is set to vote today on a 2021 budget that includes receiving $4 billion of federal funds that Congress has yet to approve. Counting on those funds will allow the MTA to hold off on a plan to cut 40% from subway and bus service, slash commuter rail service in half, and eliminate more than 9,300 workers. Senator Chuck Schumer anticipates the MTA will receive about that much aid in the latest coronavirus relief package that federal lawmakers are currently negotiating. The budget vote comes after the MTA last week tapped a $2.9 billion loan from the Federal Reserve. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. President-elect Joe Biden has tapped Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan, to lead the Energy Department, and Obama-era Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy to run a new White House office on climate change. And Pete Buttigieg has been picked for a top role in Joe Biden's new administration as well. The former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is set to become transportation secretary. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashar has a Bloomberg sports update. John?
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks fans had dreams of the team landing. Two-time NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo is a free agent next summer. Like previous dreams of getting LeBron James and Kevin Durant, this one won't happen either. The Greek Freak staying in Milwaukee. Supermax deal, 5 years, $228 million. He'll try and win a championship with the Bucks. The last 2 years, they've had the best regular season record, but they have not yet even gotten to the NBA Finals. James Harden still wants to trade out of Houston, but he did play a preseason game with the Rockets last night. The next-to-last college football playoff rankings, Alabama, then Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Bama plays Florida Saturday for the SEC championship. Notre Dame and Clemson play each other for the ACC title, the rematch of the regular season win by the Irish. Ohio State getting ready to face Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. Mets fans would love a Christmas present or two, though they did just land catcher James McCann. A free agent signing like outfielder George Springer would be even nicer. Mets team president Sandy Alderson.
I think what the fans want is not that we win the offseason, but we win the season. And there are several different ways to achieve that. And, you know, if we have X money to spend, we'll probably spend it. But we have to make decisions about how we do that.
Mets might also pursue DJ LeMahieu. The Yankees want to keep him, but the two sides are reportedly $25 million apart. An MLB owner told USA Today there is zero chance of spring training starting on time or having a full 162-game season. He says they won't start until all the players have gotten the vaccine. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Next year's must-see drama is Netflix Under Siege. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. When 2020 began and the public didn't yet know of the coronavirus, the TV and entertainment industry was in the midst of a makeshift effort to challenge Netflix. Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus had just launched, and HBO Max, Peacock, and Quibi were just entering the market. Their playbooks were all lacking. The new entrants craved Netflix's success while resisting how Netflix got there, which was providing a whole heap of programming unencumbered by a need to support more profitable cable TV or theatrical businesses. But then the world changed with COVID-19, and Netflix's way became the only way. Warner Brothers now plans to put all of its movies on HBO Max the same day that they're released in theaters next year. And Disney is creating a bunch of new Star Wars and Marvel shows for its Disney Plus subscribers. Netflix should enjoy its lonely winter on top, because in 2021, the streaming wars are finally heating up. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. A Vanguard Group equity fund has become the first of its kind to eclipse $1 trillion in assets. And we get more on that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is a testament to the rise of index-based investing over the past three decades. Company data show Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, which includes both a mutual fund and an exchange-traded fund, had $1.04 trillion of assets as of November 30th. While soaring U.S. stocks are fueling the fund, it's also being bolstered by falling fees, a trend stoked by Vanguard, a pioneer in low-cost passive investing. The Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund was created in 1992, with the corresponding ETF following in 2001. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And on the corporate front today, we get a look at the housing market when home builder Lennar reports earnings. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Lennar is coming off a solid third quarter with a 16% surge in net new orders. But with the strong housing market elevating investor expectations, Lennar's third quarter results and its fourth quarter outlook were considered subpar. As part of a strategy to support its gross margin, Bloomberg Intelligence says Lennar is focused on selling current inventory rather than extending its backlog in a rising cost environment. Analysts expect Lennar to report a profit of $2.37 a share on revenue of $6.6 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 11 points. Dow futures up 84. NASDAQ futures a gain of 30 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Complicated times call for proactive advisors who help increase cash flow, minimize taxes, and create long-term strategies for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks rallying with confidence among investors, building on the back of stronger German factory data, the vaccine rollout, and the prospects for more U.S. stimulus. S&P futures, they're higher. The dollar is weakening as investors wait for details from the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting. The pound, it's climbing for a third day to its highest level in over 2 years as optimism the U.K. and EU may reach a trade deal coincided with that weakening dollar. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 88. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany's up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.91%. The yield on the 2-year 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 5 cents at $47.67 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.66.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2198 against the dollar. British pound 1.3539 and the yen is at 103.31. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's two rounds of meetings with bipartisan congressional leaders is making progress towards a deal on COVID-19 relief. Across the U.S., coronavirus cases are surging. New York's mayor telling residents to prepare for a shutdown of all but essential businesses soon after Christmas. And China has charged Hong Kong activists detained more than 3 months over their attempts to flee Taiwan. And in sports, Anas Tetumko has signed the largest contract in NBA history, staying with the Bucks for another 5 years for more than $250 million. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's almost 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, President-elect Biden is assembling a veteran team to fight climate change. Former Trump lawyer Sidney Powell is asking the Supreme Court to overturn Biden's wins in two states. And President Trump is sitting out the debut of a coronavirus vaccine that he has long championed. Also making news, progress reported in stimulus talks, but no deal just yet. Let's get the latest on that and more from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. So where are we, Kate?
Well, I think we're finally, after weeks and weeks, kind of at the do or die moment when it comes to these stimulus talks getting done before the end of the year. You know, they're really been interlinked with getting a spending bill done by the end of the week. And we expect that spending bill, which would fund, you know, broader government operations, to be unveiled today, as soon as today. And the idea is to try to get it passed by Friday. And the stimulus measure, if it does come together, would be attached to that. And so really, you know, the way that Congress works is that these deals tend to come together at the last minute. But, you know, the clock is ticking and it's, you know, going to have to come together pretty soon.
So what are the signals that are being sent that are feeding the optimism that's playing out in markets this morning?
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, I think the fact that the big four, as they're referred to, that's the Republican and Democratic leaders in both the House and Senate, sat down for several rounds of negotiations yesterday. Those negotiations went on for several hours. By all accounts, the principals came out of those negotiations saying that things, that they'd made progress, that things were going well. I think those are good indications. I think also, you know, the idea that we're hearing that a number of states, California and New York, for example, are taking in higher tax revenue than anticipated. That creates a possibility, or makes it more likely potentially, that the Democrats, Schumer and Pelosi, might accept a deal that doesn't include the aid to state and local governments that they've been demanding. So I think that that, you know, if that is the case, and that still remains a big if, we don't know what Schumer and Pelosi are going to do. But if they were to accept that, that would, you know, very much pave the way towards getting a deal. And so there are a few things that are pointing in positive directions.
Okay. So is there room for more negotiations today, or does legislation have to be put, you know, pen to paper today? Is that the deadline?
I mean, I think we know kind of what the parameters are, what the universe of things and what the different kind of bills could look like. And so I think the question now is, you know, I do think the principals are likely going to have to sit down again and have some more talks to hammer things out. And it's one of these situations where, you know, nothing's agreed to until everything is agreed to, but that, you know, everything could come together in a matter of hours. And I think, you know, if it doesn't come together today, or, you know, at the latest tomorrow, it becomes, again, increasingly difficult to imagine.
Okay, let's get the latest now on the presidential transition. President-elect Biden and his team appear to have settled on a team that's going to be leading his effort toward enacting a climate agenda.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of the Biden green team, if you will. And, you know, leading that up is going to be former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm as Energy Secretary, New Mexico Representative Deb Haaland as Interior Secretary, and Gina McCarthy, who is a Obama-era director of the EPA, who's going to be heading up a White House climate office that's going to specifically look at that issue. And so it looks like, you know, Biden is very much putting that team in place. That's a priority of his. It's something that significantly is very important to the, you know, more progressive wing of the party. And so I think, again, we're seeing Biden, you know, giving a nod to that wing of the party and focusing on an issue that's really important to them, and certainly putting a team of, you know, veterans in place that have experience at different levels of government.
And also part of that team, arguably, given its nexus to the climate issue, pick for transportation secretary. And for the first time, Biden is looking to his former primary rivals.
Yeah, and that's something we saw his predecessor, his Democratic predecessor, Barack Obama, do as well, you know, famously making Hillary Clinton Secretary of State. And so now we're seeing Pete Buttigieg being tapped for transportation secretary, obviously as someone who ran against Biden in the Democratic primary. His appointment would be significant because he would be the first openly gay cabinet member in a presidential cabinet. And so that would obviously be a significant you know, marker for diversity. And that's, and diversity is certainly something that Biden has said is significant to him. He's pledged to create the most diverse cabinet in U.S. history.
All right, let's turn to the current White House here. And as the vaccine rollout continues, we haven't really heard much about it from President Trump, despite the fact that, you know, he has Operation Warp Speed and he'd really been pushing vaccination development as really the key pillar toward getting this pandemic under control.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we roll back the tape, you know, a few months prior to the election, you know, back in September, we were talking about, you know, the president promising a vaccine prior to the election, you know, talking about how the pandemic, the vaccine was talking up the vaccine a lot, taking a lot of credit for development of the vaccine. So it's a bit surprising that we haven't heard more from him as the vaccine's been rolled out across the U.S. this week. You know, the White House has said that, you know, the president won't necessarily be in the first batch of U.S. top-ranking U.S. government officials to get the vaccine. But that he, you know, could potentially get it while he's in office. And so, but, you know, he just hasn't really been doing a big rollout or a victory lap about the vaccine over the past several days, which in some ways seems surprising.
Well, it is kind of interesting that the president did push back on the idea of White House officials getting early access. We've heard from Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's saying that they should get that access. How could we see this play out?
Well, it is a bit surprising because a lot of, you know, Fauci and other public health officials have basically said that, you know, in addition to the continuity of government question, which, you know, is related to wanting to make sure the top ranking government officials like the president, vice president, et cetera, don't get COVID. We obviously know that the president had it in October, but we don't know really the extent to which that immunity lasts and whether he might be vulnerable to getting it again. And so there's that continuity of government question. But then on top of that, there's a question about, you know, providing public reassurance about the safety of the vaccine. And so I think there's a sense among public health experts that having someone like the president or other top-ranking government officials, people like Fauci and Biden, take the vaccine will help instill confidence among the general public about the vaccine's safety. And so, you know, I think it's a bit of a head-scratcher in those regards.
All right. Thank you, as always, Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is currently 6:56 on Wall Street. It is time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked one of the top three universities in New Jersey and 74th in the nation by QS World University Rankings. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Amazon is not giving up on getting a lucrative cloud computing contract from the Pentagon. The company has filed an amended complaint arguing the Defense Department wrongfully awarded the deal to Microsoft. Amazon said its bid was cheaper and technically superior. More than a year ago, Amazon filed suit claiming that political interference by President Trump cost it the contract. Facebook is attacking Apple in a series of full-page newspaper ads. It claims the iPhone maker's anticipated mobile software changes around data gathering and targeted advertising are bad for small businesses. The ads carry the headline, "We're standing up to Apple for small businesses everywhere." Apple has pushed back, accusing Facebook in November of showing a disregard for user privacy. And Chinese ground crews are standing by for the return of a lunar probe. It's bringing back the first fresh samples of rock and debris from the moon in more than 45 years. Plans call for it to perform an initial bounce off the Earth's atmosphere to reduce speed before passing through and floating down on parachutes. That makes it difficult to calculate precisely where it'll land. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures higher this morning. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 28. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.